Dear diary, today I played at the Bernabeu in front of 80,000 loyal and passionate fans. Today I scored a hat-trick. Today I went home and made love to my model wife. I then went next door and made love to another 5 models. I went upstairs and played on my train set, which I have in the attic. And I walked out of the veranda onto the beautiful beach. I saw the sunset, and as it set, a rainbow touched me on the cheek. But I am still filled with an enormous sense of ennui.
Why does Renato have a train set?
This is the greatest luxury item that came into Mark's head.
What would make a man
just like
what would make a man happier than
encased in gold?
I went up and played with my Hornby train set. Not only do I have the train set, I have the stations and the little men who stand next to the track.
You'd have to have a lot of money to have a train set.
Honestly, the thought process was amazing.
I'll do my second one.
I'm Andy Murray.
Stop it.
Oh, donkey. That'll do, donkey.
Can't believe you've listened to my Andy Murray impression and then you've come out with that.
I'm Andy Murray.
You're not.
Shush, I'm doing Andy Murray.
Andy, have you got a train set by any chance? I'm Andy Murray.
And every day I play with my train set.
No, right. Don't do jokes. It's not funny.
You can take our train sets!
This sketch isn't meant to be funny.
This sketch isn't meant to be funny!
No.
You succeeded.
Is this by any chance going to start with, "Hi, I'm Andy Murray"?
I think it might.
Try not to rustle.
Andy Murray from Glasgow.
I am Andy Murray. And I've just won the US Open. I was wearing my gold medal around my neck. It's my first Grand Slam final and I finally won. I'm gonna go up and sleep with my girlfriend. And then
the fact that he actually feels the need to record in his diary, "I'm about to go upstairs and sleep with my girlfriend." Diary of a serial killer.
Don't start again, Mark.
Welcome.
You should know this.
That's, if you heard it in the background, that belly rumble of digestion signals the beginning of the 50th episode of At the End of the Day.
Whoa, I did not know that.
Congratulations all around.
You dropped a bomb on us there.
Big 5-0. All right, that's all. Bye.
I'd have bought you a present if I'd known.
It's actually next week.
Oh, okay.
Is it really?
I wouldn't really have bought you a present.
Oh, right, it's this week.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's this week.
50!
For It's a Jolly Good Podcast.
Less singing.
All right. we got lots to do on this momentous 50th podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, because you've all been with us for the past 49, I know. And we got tennis, we got football. Let's crack on!
and start off with my
Paralympics, maybe. Kind
yeah,
of.
We love the Paralympics a bit.
As I'll be known from now on, the Coldplay Olympics.
I start off with my tribute. Oh, flower of Scotland.
Was this planned?
No, it definitely wasn't.
When will we see?
What's it going to do with Paralympics?
I have no idea.
I don't know the words.
Is he coming
but
out?
York's got another concert.
But I like the tune.
Bjork.
Yeah, Andy Murray! Come on, Andy!
That wasn't Bjork. Bjork would have been, "Oh, flower of Scotland."
That's pretty much what he sounded like.
Yeah, okay.
Come on, Andy!
Big news story this week!
To celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Warwickshire are cricket county champions!
Woohoo! Warwickshire's not in Scotland. Why would you think that from my song?
To be honest, I didn't really know why you were singing Flower of Scotland. I didn't make the connection between the Scottish anthem and the British tennis player.
Correct.
True story. Yeah. But have we not learned this summer that if we were born on this island, we are Team GB? Is Andy Murray not part of Team GB?
Yes, because he's winning.
Exactly. I think that's very disrespectful to the likes of the English cricket team. And Kevin Peterson, yeah, Jonathan Trott, yeah. Andrew Strauss, Matthew Pryor. Just because they weren't born over here. Mark.
Team GB and South Africa.
Owen Morgan.
And Ireland.
Born on a different island.
Bradley Wiggins and Belgium.
Belgium?
Bradley Wiggins was born in Belgium.
Was he?
True story.
Is that why he's got those sideburns? Because they look like waffles.
More exciting Belgiumites.
All right, well, I suppose I'll have to give in to popular demand and singing and admit that Andy Murray is the big news story du jour.
Even then, with all those countries that we listed, Northern Ireland still doesn't make it.
Thanks for coming.
Still doesn't
make
it.
Hope you enjoyed Coldplay. Andy Murray.
I'm pretty sure on this podcast, not just a couple of years ago, we declared that he would never win a major.
And as part of our 50th anniversary radio highlights, let's relive that. I'm Lee, and I don't think Andy Murray's ever going to win him.
I think while we're being respectful, as we should
to
be,
me.
Can we please, during this celebratory, at the end of the day, 50th episode, Andy Murray special section, refer to him by his proper name, Judy. So, Judy Murray won his first tennis major tournament.
And
well done, Judy.
We stayed up. By we, some of us stayed up for a bit.
I lasted until 10 o'clock.
I don't honestly believe that anyone watched up to the end. Nobody.
No.
Because he went two sets up. Then Djokovic started to come back, and then everyone went to bed.
I went to bed when it went to 2-2, yeah. Thinking, well, this isn't going to happen.
If you look really closely on the highlights, you'll see that Ivan Lendl's just got eyeballs painted onto his eyelids, and he's actually just asleep, looking like he's awake, wearing sunglasses. He was wearing sunglasses. He didn't even need to paint those eyeballs on his eyelids.
No one would ever notice the difference anyway.
It's been a long time coming.
Is that the Spanish national anthem?
It's been a long time coming. No, I just made that song up. But it has been a long time coming. And I think that we've actually got to a point where us, and when I say us, I refer to the nation.
Team GB.
Who, here at the end of the day on this special 50th celebratory episode, we represent the nation. I don't think many people even begrudge him this, do we? Like, a year ago, people would have been going, I don't really want Andy Murray to win. I don't like the man.
Yeah.
He's a surly, sour Scot. Now we're going, he's a surly, sour Scot, but I quite like him.
He's a surly, sour Brit, is what he is now. He's not a Scot.
Simon Fuller, the media mogul, Simon Fuller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
With the podgy hamster face. I always think those people, you know, they get a load of money for doing nothing. But he has turned around Andy Murray. He sits
has
in the
he?
Box. And now we quite like him.
Do we like Simon Fuller?
No.
Every time it flashed onto the box, I wanted Murray to lose again.
It was when he cried at Wimbledon, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going closer.
And then perfect timing. He then won the gold medal in the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly.
While the tears were still fresh in our memories.
Which Federer let him win.
Yeah.
He did. He did.
He is the British sports star who I now have the most respect for.
Whoa.
Argue with me, bitches.
Okay, I would say he has not got the eloquence.
Don't know who Ellie Simmons is.
He's not. Andy Murray has not got the eloquence, the sheer perseverance or ball-mindedness of Joey Barton.
No, true, I do love Joey. But I respect Andy Murray. He is, on his own, time and time again, he's been beaten in the big match. He lost at Wimbledon. 76 years of hurt. Everything's of hurt, isn't it?
Yeah, it is in England.
Britain. I think the last Englishman to win a major title was W.G. Grace. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he won everything in his time. He was the only English sportsman.
It just
how much mental toughness must you have, not only on top of all of that, but last night as well, after going two sets to love up, being brought back to 2-2 to win that final third set.
Was that a rhetorical question, or should do we need to quantify the amount of mental toughness?
Quantify!
I'd say...
about a 7.
7?
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about 16 ounces. 16 ounces of mental toughness. Yeah. 12 to beat Nadal.
Yeah.
Djokovic 16 ounces. Yeah.
We answered the question. Nadal is world number 4 now. He's no one.
Yeah.
He's a nobody.
So you got Djokovic, Federer, Murray, and Nadal.
You got your order wrong.
All right. Murray, Djokovic, Nadal, Federer. Djokovic, Nadal.
No.
I know the order. I'm joking.
You don't know nothing.
nothing. But yeah, you see, this is what I mean. Mark is saying that he's the sportsman who he most admires. Well, not everyone is feeling as, you know, man-o-man towards Andy Murray as Mark, but everyone kind of likes him now, doesn't he?
Let me quantify that. He's the sportsman I respect the most.
Who has all his
limbs. Doesn't mean I like him.
Before this, you said you'd like to rub up against him.
Yeah, you did.
He said that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say that. I heard it, and I've got it on tape. You can give me some money if you want me to do
it. I just like the fact that Andy Murray won his first major with a hairdo that looked like, before he started to play every game, he got out a balloon and rubbed it on top of his hair so it all stood up on end and then went out to play.
Well, it's lucky he did win because he obviously couldn't afford a haircut, could he? I mean, he clearly just went into a hairdresser and was like, can you cut my hair for free? And I'm like, no, get out.
But how unlucky is he? He finally wins a major, wins a slam. And he does it in America on the anniversary of 9/11. Now, I'm not in America, but I can't imagine he's getting as much coverage as he otherwise might have done.
But in a way, Mark, this was the perfect way of saying screw you to the Taliban.
Yes. Yeah.
This was the perfect retaliation against those terrorists.
When bin Laden was killed, we thought that's done something to help us get over the tragedy.
One day, a puny Scotchman will...
We need something else.
Yeah. And you know, I say to you, Taliban, and other militants in the East...
Excellent. First time we've addressed the axis of evil on the podcast.
I say to you, whoever has replaced bin Laden, if he's indeed dead, I say to you... Where's your number one tennis player?
Yeah.
How many majors have you won?
Yeah.
Null. Zero. Kaput. That doesn't mean naught, but it sounds good. They haven't produced a single good sportsman. And until they do that, they can do whatever they want, and they are not better than Andy Murray.
Yeah.
You can take our towers, but you'll never take our sportsman.
Oh my God, I can't believe you actually said that.
Not only are we now Scottish, we're also now American as well.
Yes. Yeah. Team... GB
and America.
And America and South Africa and Ireland and Belgium.
Living together in perfect.
And Northern Ireland if they can be bothered to turn up.
Did you see how Andy Murray celebrated though? He didn't climb up the stands and celebrate with his fans. He didn't drop to his knees. He didn't lay on the court. He searched for his sponsor's watch. He couldn't find it.
Well, until you got to the end there, I was saying good, because I hate it when they climb up to the families. If I was in charge, family enclosures would be surrounded by barbed wire fence.
No one hates that.
And chicken wire.
Why are you saying
this? Because it was
ridiculous.
It was good the first time when Goran Ivanisevic did it, looking like his face was melting away through sheer emotion. And now everyone does it time after time.
Sharapova on the phone.
Yeah, that was good. Sharapova on the phone was good.
I can't give it to my mum. She's on a plane.
The Williams sisters seem to do it every time. And they win literally every time. They win a tournament every 3 days.
It looks like King Kong.
Yeah, it does. It looks like something.
Swatting away biplanes.
It's because their sisters haven't eaten for the length of time of the tennis match. Have you seen how large they are? Someone in that family is adopted. Because there are the two best female athletes in the world. And the fat one. She's not even a little fat. She is like, from that film with the mental disorder fat.
Precious.
That's the one. She is precious fat.
But watching Venus Williams, and at the same time, whilst the Paralympics is going on, it makes you realise that she should have a class of her own. She should be like women's tennis S1. because she's at least three times
stand for sumo.
Yeah, she's at least three times the size of anyone else she plays against. They're all like these dainty females, like do when they hit the ball.
I would just wish she'd just take it a little bit further. And when they all go and sit down between games and they eat their protein bars or bananas, they just pull out a box of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
There were, normally we only watch Wimbledon, obviously, and we complain about the women making the noises. Mm. But last night, Murray was going at it.
What was the noise? Can you do it for me? Christ.
Yeah. Djokovic was giving it a little.
What did he sound like?
It was a little bit.
A typical Murray Djokovic rally would have sounded a bit like.
And then the Jewish ball boy comes on and goes, "Oi!"
Did you see the way the ball boys had to sit or kneel or stand? No. I'm going to do a demonstration, which obviously isn't good for podcasting. I will
describe it for those
for the benefit of the tape.
They run.
Those who are
they pick up the ball and then they come back and they go.
Lee Gaskin is now bending down on all fours, and now he's stuck his ass in the air and has gone down onto his elbows to the front. Did I describe that well?
But the best part of that is that they do it, and the exact place where the cameras are. Right there, right behind their bum.
For the benefit of the tape, Lee Gaskin is motioning behind his posterior. those ball boys have a hard job. I mean, one of them's got to hold Andy Murray's balloon.
He's never going to lose again now, is he?
Well done, Andy.
Well done.
Well done, Judy.
He's the best player ever.
Go, Judy. And we were winding down to pause it.
Yeah,
he had Sean Connery and Alex Ferguson in the crowd.
Yes, he did.
They've now got to attend every single match he plays. Yeah. Alex Ferguson will have to resign as Man United manager so he can be Andy Murray's lucky icon.
And Kevin Spacey. He's a big Murray fan.
He tweeted he rallied with Ivan Lendl during the warm-up.
The rallies were amazing, actually, during that match. They were crazy. It was brilliant.
There was a 50-shot rally or something
54.
Early on.
It was ridiculous.
I do wish that Sean Connery would become one of the umpires, though, just so we could all hear him say, "Joof."
That's true. I am going to end just on a little smug note, though, because I did actually back Andy Murray for the first time ever in a Grand Slam final.
Did you? At what point?
No, before the match, to win in five sets.
So it wasn't like at the start of the tournament, that would have been impressive.
£5 on, £45 win.
Not bad.
Pretty pleased.
Put it in the podcast kitty.
No.
Okay. So to commemorate our 50th year, that's right, isn't it? 50 years?
England are playing a football match.
Yeah. For us. We're going to pod your minds.
Oh, God.
Pod your minds.
I'm not sure if I'm qualified for that.
Because the previous 49 have been quite linear and...
Linear!
Oh, they definitely... They are far from linear.
What are you expecting, Mark? Like, Inception?
They're not modular, are they? So what we're going to do now is we're going to preview the game. Then we're going to watch it. And the end of the pod is going to be after the game's happened.
So essentially, we're going to chat about it, watch the game, and then chat about it again.
probably in a less optimistic tone.
But it won't be linear. Oh, no.
No, there's nothing linear about it.
It's definitely not... Because we just want to watch the game. It's because we wanted to pod your minds.
Yeah. It is a historic event, and you can say that you were there. This would be one of those moments where your grandchildren will go, "Where were you when they first did that podcast?"
Oh, sure, the first 49, they were good. Got a patch on this one.
But the 50th had a football match in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, you know.
England, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Didn't that happen earlier? Not earlier tonight. Let's step out of the interception.
Earlier this year.
Now if we get our previews right, they're going to go, "Well, Mark said that it happened earlier." So they cheated.
Yeah. Okay, well, this comes hot off the heels of the stunning England-Moldova match the other day, which absolutely no one watched or cared about.
It's a farce.
And so instead, we got an absolute ball cruncher tonight.
Ooh, of England Ukraine.
England minus the politician.
Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
Shevchenko.
Oh, yeah.
England minus Shevchenko.
The other one.
Right.
Ukraine minus the politician.
The other one. Good work.
So, Lee, what can you tell us about Ukraine?
They are a different country than us.
Great. So, let's have a look at England now. They're going the mainstay of the midfield is again Tom Cleverley, who is apparently the big new shiny ball in the middle of the England ball collection.
No, yes, yes, he is.
Mark, Man United fan, is making disparaging noises. Explain.
Oh, he's so boring.
He's the great new
thing in exciting new
football,
attacking
Mark.
Midfielders score 30-yard screamers.
He's the centrepiece of the number three team in the world.
Yeah. What? Three?
England.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Talking about Man United. Was...
yeah, no, I would have said five.
Yeah. At least. Outrageous. yeah. Played against Southampton. Oh, okay, I'll start. I'm Tom Cleverley, amazing. Oh, no, Southampton really good at football. Paul Scholes, can you come on and save me? Thanks, Paul Scholes. That is how he talks.
He was really good against that country I mentioned earlier that began with M.
Moldova? Yeah, I slept through that, so probably can't comment.
Most of us did.
I think Tom Cleverley's brilliant, so there.
Why?
Because he's very forward-thinking. He gets the ball and he wants to pass the ball forward. He doesn't...
That's revelatory thoughts.
But
how do you come up with this stuff?
Oh, but it is in football these days, especially
you'd never make it as a rugby player.
Especially for an England footballer. They're usually like, oh, we love to have Gareth Barry in the team, who literally is the most boring player that's ever existed.
Gareth back
we love
to the
James
keeper,
Miller.
Barry.
Yeah, exactly. So I like Tom Cleverley. He's very creative.
Now, you just mentioned someone who got lauded for his, he didn't get made a lord. He got lauded for his performance against that country.
Moldova.
Who I can't stand.
James Milner. Milner.
Lord of the
Lord
wing.
Milner of the Yeti hat.
He's very right wing.
Very nice.
Thank you. But yeah, he runs a lot, doesn't he? He runs a lot.
He's more central.
He runs a lot.
Yes,
he's Roy Hodgson, he's right wing.
No, yeah, he's not.
He runs a lot, doesn't he?
He was against Moldova. He was the right winger. Oh, in fact, all he had to do was get the ball, run down the right wing, and cross it. That literally was his task. He is a victim of versatility, which, and by the way, will be the title of my autobiography.
Can I actually correct you, Lee? His actual role was to run down the right wing, beat the defender, then check back, and lay it back to Glenn Johnson, who would then cross it.
That's kind of true. Although Milner did put a few crosses in himself. It's a role that sounds very easy, the Milner role, run down the wing, cross it, or pass it to Glenn Johnson to cross it. And yet Theo Walcott came on and made it look extremely difficult against Moldova.
I just love watching Walcott. He runs with the ball and you go, oh, Walcott, he's looking hot today. And then he just meets a player. A player will just be standing like a post box and they'll run into him.
It's because, as we all know, Theo Walcott is the most polite and well-brought-up young man in football. So whenever he meets another player, he stops for a second, has a discussion with them,
gives
asks them
the
how
ball.
Their day has been.
Doesn't want to embarrass them.
Now, the other horrible player steals it.
Yeah,
that's true.
No, I think Theo Walcott's so polite, he gives it to him.
The mercurial Big Kev compared Theo Walcott to one of the blind footballers from the Paralympics with the rattle in the ball, where he has the ball at his feet and he can run with it. He just has no idea if there's a defender in front of him.
He needs sensors.
Yes.
Like, you know, those parking sensors. So if he's getting near a player, he's too busy looking at the ball, and if he gets nearer the defender, he just goes...
Are we really going to ignore the fact that Lee said mercurial?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's some football bits called mercurials, so...
Is the pod as excited as the Sun headline writers about this young fellow named Sterling? They're going to use up their headlines for him fairly quickly, aren't they?
Can you give me one?
The price of Sterling is very good.
we've just been talking about Cleverley. I mean, that's another headline writer's dream as well.
They've done Clever already, though. I always feel that if you've got a name like Cleverley, you need, as the headline writer, you need to save that one special headline for when he really did it. Like Scholes. Scholes gets a goal.
Not the ideal example.
No, not the best. Scholes gets the goals. But you can't just use that when he scores 2-0.
But you have to, because otherwise, if I was writing for one paper mark and you write for the other, and I had a brilliant thing, and I was thinking, no, actually, I'm not going to use it today. I'm going to save it. And then you used it, I'd have to come over there and punch your face in.
Yeah, I would have more integrity, though.
You wouldn't.
No, you're right.
How do we get onto this again?
I have no idea.
Sterling.
Raheem
Sterling.
I mean, this is just something to do with Roy Hodgson's ongoing Liverpool obsession, is it not?
It's a bit weird. You'd think he'd never want to see the place again.
It's getting a bit funny. It's getting a bit creepy.
Yeah.
You know, like someone who texts you just slightly too often. That's Roy Hodgson. And
sorry
Liverpool.
About that.
Do you think the Liverpool players sort of meet up and go, do you just wish Roy just back off a bit? Give I need a bit more space, Rob.
It is weird.
I mean, why would you, if you were an England player, not want to transfer to Liverpool? It guarantees you a starting line.
Yeah, you are immediately picked.
If I was Michael Owen, that's the only hope in hell he's got of getting first team football. Move to Liverpool, sit on the bench, but you'll play for the England team.
Yeah.
So is Hodgson doing this because he's got something to prove? Or is he doing it because he's desperately in love with Liverpool?
He's developed a lot of grudges, hasn't he? He's got a grudge against Crouch.
Because
Crouch refused to be a reserve player.
That's a fair grudge.
Yeah.
And he's also got a grudge against Bent.
Well, that's more homophobic than anything else.
I said Bent, not the Bent. The Bent in general.
I think he just realises that Sterling's brilliant.
Yeah. Is he?
Yeah, he's brilliant.
How many games have you played then?
A few.
A few?
Yeah.
Can I count them on one hand?
Yeah, you might be able to.
Probably on one finger. Even if I was a Paralympian.
Yeah, but he's still
even
brilliant.
If I was Sarah Story.
He has...
I can count it on my stomach.
He has played a few games for Liverpool, and yet he's already had more good performances than Theo Walcott.
Okay, but has he had more good performances than a decent player?
Well, yeah, but Theo Walcott everybody seems to think he's going to come good at some point.
I just think it looks a bit desperate that he's called up Raheem Sterling, Jake Livermore.
Great player.
Great
player.
Great as in Gareth Barry, great.
he is a step up from Gareth Barry.
That is a backhanded compliment. At least give him that one. Oh, how did I play today, boss? Well, Jake, you were Barry-esque.
You were better than Gareth Barry. Do you remember, it wasn't that long ago that Gareth Barry was the best player that played for England.
Yeah, he was captain for a little while. Temporarily, I think.
How did that happen?
Okay, well, we're drawing close to kick-off.
We are.
So we need to have a little discuss. Are we not?
Well, you kind of are.
Is it an 8 o'clock kickoff?
It's an 8 o'clock kickoff, yeah.
Oh, I beg your pardon. We've got lots of time. Let's carry on with this meandering and meaningless discussion.
Much, much to the disappointment of every podcast listener.
What's that?
Another 15 minutes.
Everyone's index finger just hovered closer to the stop button.
Well, Sarah's story turned off 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, that was your fault.
She's kidding. She's listening in the bath. It's not even an offensive joke. She's listening in the bath. I happen to know she does.
Should we change subject then?
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
That's technically still football, but
we can't change topic now.
He's exciting. It's good to see him playing.
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
and I like the fact that he's a winger because they keep saying they're going to play him in the hole, in behind the striker.
Oh, no,
and he's not that player. But Arsene Wenger is convinced that Walcott should be playing out wide and Oxlade-Chamberlain should be playing in the middle. I'm sure he's drunk.
Do you think he actually knows which one's which?
I don't think he does.
Is it one of those really awkward social scenarios for Arsene Wenger when it's too late for him to ask which one's which?
Yeah.
He's forgotten their names, but he doesn't want to seem rude. And he's just kind of like, when he's giving his team talk, at this moment he looks in the corner of the room and goes, oh, Theo. And then he looks around to see who's looked at him.
Yeah.
He goes, you'll be playing out wide right today. And then he gets really annoyed to see that it's Walcott, not the other one.
If you only sort of had a knowledge of Britain by footballers, you'd think Southampton was the poshest place in the world, wouldn't you? Because Oxlade-Chamberlain and Walcott both came from Southampton.
Yeah.
And are both the poshest footballers.
And of course, we've got a third. We've actually got a current Southampton player in the England squad, haven't we? That's the one who's so just ridiculously obscure I forgot about.
Lallana.
Adam Lallana.
He must be good for chance.
Lallana.
Not that one.
As I just demonstrated, Mark.
Lallana.
Have you got an entry for Lallana chant of the season?
No, I don't think I can beat Marks.
Lallana.
Okay.
Every single football chant is that chant.
Yeah. Alright, do it to Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Oxlade-Chamberlain. Oh.
You just made a new drink, Oxlade.
The Ox. Oh. It's every chant now is that.
Okay, well,
football chants are getting boring. I'm throwing this out there.
All right, is this an at the end of the day challenge?
Yes.
Quest? Nay.
I want to see some more inventive football chants.
Just generally?
Yeah.
Or do we need to focus this on certain individuals?
No.
Okay.
Just
general creative chants.
You're right, and it is. Cheltenham have got one song.
Yeah.
No one was asking about Cheltenham.
They used to have two songs, which was the We Can't Read and We Can't Write, but that don't really matter. We all come from Cheltenham, we can drop our tratter, who are, who are, who are. Cheltenham Shire, la la la, Cheltenham Shire, la la la.
Yeah.
Anyway, but now the only thing you ever hear is when the goalie goes to kick it, and you go, "Your shit."
I hate to say that one is not exclusive to Cheltenham.
No, I'm just saying.
If that's the newest addition to their repertoire, they really are behind the times.
I'm just saying that's the only song, and it's not even a song.
It's not even a song.
It's okay. Just a noise.
So here's the challenge. We need the most innovative, creative, new terrorist chant, which Mark Daniel will then perform at Cheltenham Town and record on his mobile phone for broadcast in this podcast.
Let's see if he can get it going.
Contact us via attheendofthedaypodcast.com.
Good corporating.
It's the first time this series has been mentioned.
Yeah, I think it probably is, yeah.
Anyone, anything else to say remotely on the subject of football before we break for the game?
Before we start, would you like to do a score and a first goal score prediction?
Yeah.
Because then we can come back and see how wrong we were.
Yeah.
2-0 England.
Okay. 2-0 England.
First goal will be scored by Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Okay, I'm going to go 3-0 England. And first score, goal scorer, Jermaine Defoe.
I am going to say 3-1 to England. To England. And first goal scorer will be Tom Cleverley.
All right, well, we'll see just how cleverly Lee made that prediction just in 90 minutes.
See just how clever Lee is.
Listener, you don't have to sit there
waiting
for 90
minutes. That's Lee's name. Better. I'll just see how clever Lee is.
That would have been better.
Yeah, it would have.
All right, so we'll see you in 90 minutes.
Again.
Listener, you don't have to sit there for 90 minutes. It's Sarah, you can get out of the bath and dry off in between. So, come back in 90 minutes and we'll see just how cleverly Lee made
no. This is your halftime update.
This is your halftime update, as the constipated man just said. It's halftime. It's 1-0 to Ukraine. That's the one. It's 1-0 to Ukraine. And well, what do we think?
Why are we doing this?
What do you mean, Mark? Are you questioning the whole purpose of the podcast?
No, yeah. Just this section. No one wants to watch the game. No one wants to be reminded of it. Just pap.
Mark's not happy with England's first half performance, evidently. I'm pretty happy. I think 1-0 to Ukraine at half time sets it up for a juicy second half.
I'm quite unhappy because I actually put money on Tom Cleverley to score first. He's missed about 14 sitters.
Okay, there is one person who has been noticeable by his inability to strike the ball goalwards, and that is Tom Cleverley.
Did I mention that Tom Cleverley was crap? But seconds ago in podcast time.
He's still not crap.
Is that what I said?
He's not crap.
Yeah, you, to be fair, Mark, you did. And he looked that way in the first half, don't you think, Lee?
No, I don't. I don't think he looked crap.
You don't think he looked crap?
Oh, no.
When he wedded the ball directly the goalkeeper's
well,
leg.
Well,
yeah,
that wasn't very good.
He's
getting into the right positions.
He's getting into the right positions.
Brilliant.
And
I'm getting to the right position.
And do you know
I'm
what?
I'm still in confidence.
Do you know what? Just to shove it in your face, if Tom Cleverley comes back on the pitch, I'm putting a bet on him to score next.
All right.
And what?
Can you now
what are you do about it?
Take
what
that away from
that?
My face?
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Okay, so is anyone watching? Is anyone by any chance wanting to revise their full-time prediction at this juncture?
No, I said 3-1.
I think I should, because I said that Ukraine wouldn't score.
So did Mark.
Mark, do you want to revise that?
No, but
England still win.
No,
they?
You don't want to revise that. you said you thought it'd be 2-0.
That goal will be
I'd like
removed.
I'd like to stick to my 2-0 prediction to England.
I'd like to explain Mark's state of mind. Whilst Lee and I enjoyed the first half of football, Mark was scared shitless by a moth.
And then tried to make moth jokes.
Yeah.
What? Who's a really good tennis player that's a moth?
Mothovich.
I'm
yeah.
so
you
sorry.
You could say that. Andy Mothery. That doesn't work.
For more...
Not that the first one did.
For more moth-based humour, please join us after the second half. Have we got any more to say?
Yeah. If anyone's listening live, which is impossible, Sky Sports 4 are showing Murray Djokovic. Just watch that.
Yeah,
okay. England will still win this, won't they?
No.
Yeah, I do still have faith for some reason.
Okay.
I think they'll still win it. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. I think they'll probably win it.
Yeah.
If they don't, will it be important? Would it have any lasting impact on the England football team? Will Roy Hodgson not be England manager by the end of today? Will Adam Lallana make his England debut?
No.
Will Raheem, whatever his name is, also make his England debut? All these questions and more will be answered in a second's time, in podcast time, but in 45 minutes, in football time.
No.
Moth of the day.
Goodness. I wasn't expecting that into the game.
Wow, I know. And all of those naked monkeys running onto the pitch at once.
What monkeys aren't they?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep towards the end.
Okay. Well, yeah, I fell asleep towards the end. The last 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Pretty good. I know. Ukraine, Lampard. I crane, we all crane.
Together. Lampard saved the day.
Lee is ominously quiet.
Right.
There's a storm brewing in the gasket.
I don't even know what to make of that. Well, whose idea was this, anyway? Whose idea was it to pod after an England game?
I know. Well, we all thought that we would be, you know, all up for it, having had a wonderful triumph and victory, didn't we? We all thought that with our ambitious predictions that we foolishly aired in public before the match.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that?
Can we delete those? And just do them again?
Can
we redo them again?
I don't think that's possible, is it? That sort of technology hasn't been invented yet.
Okay, hang on. And welcome to a very special 50th edition of At the End of the Day. We've got lots to talk about today. We got
tennis.
Think
it's going
to
be 1-1.
1-1? I think Ukraine might take the lead. I think England might play pants and then fluke a penalty at the end.
All right, who played well for England?
Gits.
No one.
Bertrand. Bertrand played well.
No, he didn't.
Cleverley was really great. I love the way he kept smashing the ball towards the corner flag.
Cleverley's awful. I tell you 1,000 times.
Cleverley's not awful.
Really, after what you've just seen,
it was an unfortunate performance from Cleverley.
If this was the Friday night fixture and we had another fixture coming up on Tuesday, would you pick him again?
No.
That's a ringing endorsement right there.
But he's not awful.
I don't think Defoe was terrible. I think he did all right with what he was given, but he wasn't given that much.
Yeah.
It
was a Defoe-like performance.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a lot of very average performances. Milner did his running thing and, you know, occasionally tackled and kicked the ball out of play and tried hard. Milner's like the guy who at school would get Most Improved Player of the Year award because he keeps trying and everyone feels a bit sorry for him. He never really does anything much good.
I think you can understand why managers like Milner, because I always think he's probably the one where Roy Hodgson said, do this, do that in training, and Milner's the only one that goes, what?
He
does it, and then Roy's like, oh, well, I have to play you because you're the only one that actually listens to
me. But when he came on, Sturridge produced twice the creativity that Milner did in 80 minutes.
The substitution's a bit suspect.
Well, then you'd say they did the job, wouldn't you?
I think the timing of them was maybe a bit suspect, but I think the way it shaped up at the end with Sturridge, Welbeck and Defoe was quite exciting. I think it was... They finally looked like there was a bit of, you know, injection of urgency.
And I look forward to that lineup featuring again in the 80th minute of the next season.
Exactly, it won't change anything.
No, next time we'll probably look forward to Ashley Young joining that front threesome.
Ukraine could have won it 2-1 at the end, though, couldn't they?
They had a lot of opportunities in the second half. They played very well, I thought.
But then again, saying that, I mean, Cleverley could have scored a hat-trick, and Welbeck could have scored one.
Results just come up next to Poland. Just lost 6-0 at home to Montenegro. San Marino.
How was that game advertised in Wembley Stadium on the advertising hoardings?
That was advertised as the one you can't afford to miss.
The one match you cannot afford to miss.
England San Marino. I think 16 of the 16 England players would disagree with you.
How many goals do we have to beat San Marino by to consider it a success?
At least 19.
I'd go... At least 19.
Anything fewer than 6, I think. People,
especially
know.
Now Montenegro is just.
Yeah. Also,
5-0 is always a good performance in any match. I think if you win 5-0, you're always happy.
No.
Well, yeah, not in cricket.
No, not after that Montenegro piece of crap. Awful game. Was it Montenegro?
We just had another awful
Moldova.
Game.
Moldova. Oh, 5-0, but the worst 5-0 you'll ever see. I don't know. Are we really moving forward in this England team? Now we've got Lampard and Gerrard back in the centre. Now we've got Terry back in defence. Is it, are we really going places? Are we really learning from our past mistakes? Is it really worth this whole sorry process of watching football matches all over again just to qualify for another sorry tournament and get kicked out in the quarterfinals on penalties again? Only to get another false hope when our first friendly fixture after that tournament, we win comprehensively and then say, oh, perhaps we've got the makings of a half-decent team now. And then we'll go and win 1-0 against a crappy team like this again and the whole bloody cycle starts all over.
Wow.
That's why Toby prefers cricket.
That pretty much sums it up, though. It's pretty much spot on.
Thanks.
You know what? All through this summer, football has been the thing that has ruined everything else. On that glorious Saturday, back in the Olympics, when we won the 3 gold medals with Farah, Ennis and the Ginger, Rutherford.
Yeah,
that's him.
Straight after, we all flipped on to watch England. Sorry, Team GB. What do they do? Go out on penalties.
Yeah.
The end of the summer, Andy Murray. Oh, he wins his first Grand Slam.
He did. Do you remember
country
talking about that earlier?
Oh, no.
Wasn't that glorious?
Doesn't the country feel amazing? And then what happens? 1-0 with the Ukraine. Football ruins everything.
Why? Can we just sort of, you know, scrap it?
I think so.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to end the 50th anniversary of the... of the podcast.
Ban football.
That's what we've decided.
Football shouldn't be allowed.
Podcasts against football. PAF. You remember PAF? Because I am.
No.
I'm pro PAF.
No. I'm a member of Get Rid of Glenn Johnson.
Hang on.
And
Grogge.
Yeah.
And Get Rid of Glenn. Yeah.
Groggy. And what's this obsession with playing someone behind the striker? Why, I think Tom Cleverley could play as a midfielder. Why not? Why is he playing behind the striker?
This is not where we miss Rooney? To play as a deep-lying striker.
Rooney have done tonight?
Have a further striker playing off him?
What would Rooney have done tonight? Run around.
There's too many obsessions with silly things. I'm not happy!
But on the plus side...
There was no plus side.
There was a plus side.
What was it?
The plus side was...
It's finished.
We made good progress with our quest to find an original new footballing chant. With Mark's entry of...
This was a good entry.
Enger Roy Hodgson, he looks like an owl, was the name of the chant, and it goes...
He looks like an owl. Switzerland.
Although, granted, can't be aimed at that many. Can't be aimed at the non-owly.
Roy Hodgson. He looks like an owl. He looks like an owl.
To clarify my, I want more inventive football songs.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be just different words. I want different tunes.
Oh.
The tunes bore me. There's lots of different words to do the same tune.
So are you saying you're happy with He Looks Like an Owl, but not...
Not to that tune, because that tune is the same.
All right.
What does he look like? He looks like an owl.
If you can get 68,000 people singing that, I'd be delighted.
I can get 34,000 people singing, what does he look like? And 34,000 others singing, he looks like an owl.
Deal.
If you can do that,
and then
we will
flaps.
End this podcast.
Flap, flap, flap. That's what they all do.
If you think you can top He Looks Like an Owl, please do get in touch, because quite frankly, we need inspiration. We need inspiration. Is there anything that we can garner inspiration from before ending this podcast?
Well, I mean, we are a generation, are we not? And we should have been inspired because the Paralympics has just finished.
That's true, actually. It was very non-specific. Inspire a generation.
Which one?
It should be inspire the generation.
Lots of old people are in wheelchairs.
We might have accidentally inspired the wrong generation. That would be catastrophic.
Yeah.
What if babies are so inspired?
Surely babies are the ones that are supposed to be inspired. Yeah. That's the point. They're the generation this is aimed at. But what if like pensioners rise up against babies and kill them all?
We're going to be rubbish at Rio.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Exactly.
I don't know.
For the pole vault, because they'll be using their walking sticks.
I know Rio seems a long way off. It's only 4 years.
babies,
they're not going to be four.
I know they are getting younger.
No, I was talking about the geriatrics. If we inspire that generation, they're going to be the ones representing us in Rio. I think we need to think about that. Seriously. Yeah. So, actually, no, we haven't been inspired. Have we been inspired? But this is our one chance to round off the Olympic summer because it's gone now. It's gone.
London is back to being a shit.
And it's not coming back ever in our lifetimes. We will all be dead the next time the Olympics are in London.
I don't think so, by the way. Just putting that out there.
You will be. On
average. I reckon we'll have it back in our lifetime.
You'll be dead.
Oh, I'll be dead, yeah. I would have had a heart
attack. I'll see to that.
10 years.
So, come on. Olympics, gone.
Do you think there's call for doing it the other way around? Paralympics first.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like going to a concert and seeing S Club Juniors after S Club 7.
It is genuinely amazing.
Thanks.
What S Club 7 have done for music.
And the Paralympics. Yeah. They maimed a lot of people.
At their gigs. When they were trying to leave.
Don't go! Get his leg! Were they Irish? I don't know. Were they Irish at S Club 7? Get his leg, Paddy!
Is that an Irish accent more important? Yeah.
I think so. He was meant to be.
Well, they were good, weren't they?
What did?
The summer. That was nice.
Yeah.
That was the autumn. Nothing but football.
I'll tell you one positive that has come out tonight is that in the international break is over.
Yes.
We got real football back next week. Again.
All right, answer me this then, and if you want, I'll fill a little. So you can actually think of something.
Okay. How are you going to fill, though?
I haven't got that far. Okay. I might do some owl-based material. Now that the Olympics is over and our one glorious happy point of the summer of the year is gone, what remains, what is coming up soon in the sporting world that will cheer me up again? What is going to get me going, pick me back up from my slough of Olympic despond?
Quick one, I've got a pretty good campaign going with Cheltenham on Football Manager.
Have you?
Yeah.
Can you share that with us somehow? I can write a blog on it.
I can find a genuinely good reason why any of your pitiful reasons to be cheerful are in fact reasons not to be cheerful. Mark, soon you're going to have to buy a new Football Manager. Yeah, you're going to have to finish that game and start again from scratch.
That's not a sad thing though. That's good.
It's a happy thing.
That's a happy thing.
Lee, you look like you had a real thing to say.
I have the Ryder Cup.
What?
The Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup's amazing. It's that
time of year.
Golf. Oh, yeah. I forgot golf even existed.
Yeah.
It's the time of year when Lee tries to teach us golf.
Yeah, and it's the time of year that anyone is ever even remotely interested in golf who doesn't like golf. Because they do it in like a simple format.
This section of the podcast hasn't worked.
No.
It's becoming more and more depressed.
There's a Tiddlywinks World Championship coming up.
Oh, right! Now you are talking!
I don't know if there is, but we could definitely start one.
I think we could bring coverage from Tiddlywinks World Championship.
Yeah.
That, if nothing else, gets you up this summer, this autumn, pod listeners, the Tiddlywinks World Champions will be brought to you by At the End of the Day.
Taking you from podcast 50 to podcast 100.
Round by round. Tiddlywink by tiddlywink.
They're called winks.
Are they?
Wink by wink.
Where's the tiddly bit come from?
I don't know. I think that's a movement.
Okay. Is it just because they're small?
Yeah, probably.
So
if you played with massive giant ones, would they be called humongous winks?
Yeah.
No, Mark's saying that the tiddly is the technique.
Yeah.
So you tiddly a wink.
So like the Fosbury flop.
Yeah, is that the bat?
Yeah, that's the high jump.
That's pretty right. Sure that's what I called going to the toilet when I was young. Not a Fosbury flop.
Daddy, I'm going for a Fosbury flop.
I'm just going to go and tiddly the wink.
just popping up for a good Fosbury flop. Fosbury flop was number two.
Tiddly the wink was number one. All right, now that is what I'm talking about. So before we all need to Fosbury our flops and whittle our tinks, anything you'd like to contribute before we leave for another week?
Yes.
That's about to sign there
is.
Up there.
Fortunately for you, this isn't Dejan Stankovic news. I've checked again. He still hasn't scored. Worst man in history. I have a new favourite thing, which is something on Twitter. And you can all do this yourselves.
Are you looking at pictures of naked
people? All you need to do... Yes, I am. Yeah. All you need to do is go onto Twitter and look up Benoit Asso Okoto.
Right.
On Twitter. He is the best footballer on Twitter that has ever existed.
Is this the real Benoit Asso?
Yeah, the real Benoit Asso.
So it's not an imposter.
No.
It's not a Kevin Peterson.
No, this is the real one. Look for the one with the tick. Just, if you just click on...
What kind of ticks he got?
the
so you keep winking.
Official DSL. Okay. If you just click on his name, I will just read you a quick extract. All right. Of
Lee will now. So that was episode 50.
Say goodbye?
That was episode 50 of At the End of the Day. Thank you for joining us. So thank you from me, Toby Martin.
Thank you from me, Mr. Mark.
And we will now be played out by Mr. Lee Gaskin reading
the
a pic of tweets from the real Benoit Assouacolo. Thank you and good night.
No more nap in afternoon, because I make a strange dream, LOL. With a nap, the day is not enough long. I make a dream, as we sign a big striker, very good, who scored many goals, but it was a dream, LOL. Morning, everyone. Enjoy your day at work, LOL. Good news about Musa at Spurs. I like his style on pitch. Strong technique, quick, all we need. LOL. And the last one. Friday, time to go to Tottenham. Hair, in brackets. LOL. I'll shave my hair, then I can sleep every Friday afternoon. LOL. He is fantastic. Priceless, pure entertainment. It's goodbye from me, Lee Gaskin.